السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم لا سهل الا ما جعلته لنا سهلا الحمد لله we thank and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his many ni'mats and favors that he has showered upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has raised us from the ummah of our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Respected friends and elders, in the ayat which I recited in the opening khutbah, these are the ayat from Suratul Furqan, and it is the beginning of the last ruku, last section of Suratul Furqan. In these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the Ibadur Rahman. And there are 13 that are mentioned in this particular ruku. Time will not permit that we discuss all of these qualities, but we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our time to be able to discuss at least a few of them. In the light of the life of our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the outset, we should understand that every human being, a Muslim, as well as a non-Muslim, is a servant of Allah. But not all are ibadur Rahman. Not all are the slaves of Ar-Rahman. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order for a person to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one would have to bring within oneself certain qualities. Apart from iman and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a mu'min, there are certain qualities that a person should have. Then one would be deserving of the title of the slave of Ar-Rahman, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, abdiyat, that is one of the highest stage of iman. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receive that title from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are very familiar with the ayat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Isra, the night journey, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Subhanalladhi Asra bi'abdihi laylam min al-masjid al-haram. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a night journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And there are many other ayat and even hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that refers to this as well. At the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to turn the mountains into gold, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a quick consultation with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, that what should I take? Should I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept the offer that the mountains must be turned into gold, then I would be a king, and I would be able to distribute as I will? Or should I discard that and rather live a life of simplicity? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a choice of being a servant, a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the famous words that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should feed me so I can make shukr to Allah. And one day I would like to go hungry so I can make sabr for what? The ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which I don't enjoy. So this was a choice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. So to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then moves on further to mention some of the qualities of the Ibadur Rahman. The first quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is Alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. That when they walk on the earth. Allah ta'ala uses the word ard. When they walk on this earth to show. Yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. That they walk on this earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. They walk with ease. They walk with tranquility. They do not walk on this earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if they own everything. Or they think they are walking on the clouds or in the heavens. But in their walk, there is this humility that you can see within them. And because they believe and they understand that everything that we own, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we have is nothing on our own. We haven't achieved any of this on our own. But whatever we have, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who lives with this thought, throughout his life, he will live with humility. So yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna, that they walk on the surface of this earth with calmness, with ease, with tranquility. And they do not walk like the people of, you know, people who have pride in them, that they would walk with arrogance. They do not walk that way. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we look at his life, it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a lot of humility in the manner in which he used to walk. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu described that it would appear as if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is descending from a higher place. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's shoulders would always be forward. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look down and he would walk. So it would, and in his walk you would see the humility of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he was the Nabi of Allah. He was the person for which Allah ta'ala created the world. So with all of that, yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became even more humble. So the manner in which he walked, it showed humility. And this humility was because whatever I have, that is a ni'mat, it is a favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. It is mentioned also that as far as walking is concerned, you know, it is not that a person should walk in such a way that, you know, it appears if somebody is ill, that is you are sick. No. A person was walking in front of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a young man, but he was very lethargic in the manner in which he was walking. So he said, Umar radiallahu ta'ala summoned him and asked him that, are you sick? Are you sick? Anta marda? Are you sick? He said, no, I'm not sick. I'm very well. He said, but why are you walking so lethargic like you're a sick person? And say, Umar radiallahu ta'ala cracked his whip and he says, walk properly. Walk properly. You should walk in such a way that you don't show that you are sick. But at the same time, your walk must be the walk of a humble person. As somebody who is appreciating the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both ways, this is appreciating the ni'mat of Allah. Being able to walk properly, being able to walk nicely in a manner in which Allah ta'ala, you know, without giving off the wrong impression to people. As if the whole world's problems is in a person's shoulder. That is not a manner in which a person should be walking. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on further to say, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامًا. That when the ignorant people, when an ignorant person would address the Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their response would be one of salama, peace. In other words, they wouldn't even respond in the same manner in which they have been addressed. So somebody who addresses a person arrogantly, the response should not be one of arrogance. In a like manner, the manner in which one is addressed, a person responds also, or a person responds in a worse way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never became angry for his personal self with any person. But if a person to break a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there would be none who would be more angrier than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if a person would address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an arrogant way, in an ignorant way, he would abuse Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This type of behavior would bring out the best in the behavior of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-jahlu, it is mentioned in the hadith sharif, that if a person behaves ignorantly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this would bring out the quality of hilm, forbearance and tolerance, and will bring the best behavior out in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The incident of Zayd bin Su'na, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a rabbi. And he read in the books, in the scriptures about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that I observe every quality which had been mentioned in the scriptures. But there were two qualities which I did not observe. And one of the qualities was that ignorant behavior will bring out the best behavior in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other is that his forgiveness is much more greater than his anger. He says those are two qualities which I never observed. And I was determined to test this to see if he was a Nabi of truth. And the occasion came when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by some people, you know, for some help. And at that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have anything to share with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit was, he never said no to any person. If he had to take a loan from somebody, he would take a loan and he would fulfill the need of another person. That was Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's magnanimity. So this person came and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have anything at that time. So Zayd bin Su'na says that this was the opportunity for me to take, to test to see whether he is the true Nabi. And I approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I made an offer to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it. And we decided at appointed time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will replay that loan. And a few days before that, he says, I approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with him was Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar and other great Sahaba as well. And he abused Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grabbed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his collar, shook him and said to him, I know that you are from the Bani Hashim and you have a habit of dilly-dallying when it comes to payments. All of this was untrue. He says, while I did this to Rasulullah, handled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to smile. And the eyes of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu began to dilate and turn. And he addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Rasul of Allah, why do you have to put up with the abuse of this person? Da'ani adribu unuqah. Give me permission, let me take off his head. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of addressing me, he addressed Sayyidina Umar. That, O Umar, a man in your position should advise me to settle my debt. And you should advise him to be kind. You should advise him to be kind and you should behave in a good manner towards me. What you have done is not acceptable. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then instructed Sayyidina Umar that take him to the Baytul Mal and whatever the debt was, settle that debt and give him something extra as a gift because you threatened to take his life. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did this, Zayd bin Su'na radiallahu ta'ala says, but why are you doing this? He says, because this was the instruction of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I threatened to take your life. And that is why I had to give you this extra as a gift. And he recites the Shahada. This was the example, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامَ. That when a jahil, when an ignorant person addresses you and he behaves ignorantly towards you, the manner in which you should respond to such a person. There was a man who swore another in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this person remained silent. After a while he responded, وَعَلَيْكَ سَلَامٌ. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that as long as you remain silent, an angel was responding on your behalf to this person's abusers. But the moment you responded, now the angel stopped responding for you as well. And not respond on your behalf. So Allah's rahmat and Allah's mercy and kindness is with those people who behave well towards those people who behave ignorant towards them. And in every aspect of life you will find this, brothers. That we find that all of these aspects, whether we look at it, family life, whether we look at our social life and our people around us that we deal with, in every aspect, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us that always behave well towards people. The sahabi who came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he complained, O Rasul of Allah, I have family. That when I'm kind towards them, they behave in a good manner towards them, they're ignorant, they behave in an ignorant manner towards me. And I am fed up with them, what should I do? How should I respond to them? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep doing what you are doing. Because if you do what you are doing, is as if you are feeding them hot ash. It will affect them, but will not affect you. But don't behave in the same manner in which they behave towards you. Because that is unbecoming of Ibadur Rahman. It is unbecoming of a servant and a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, that وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. That there are such people that during spend their time in sujood, in sajda, in prostration before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they stand in salah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this ayat of brothers, is not about your faraz. It's not about our faraz salah. That is a given, every person has to do it. There's no, there is absolutely no leeway as far as the farais is concerned. That is a minimum that every person should do. In our society today, we think that a person who fulfills the farais is a pious person. Piety is not determined by what you have to do. That is compulsory. There is no choice in the matter as far as that is concerned. Allah Ta'ala speaks about Ibadur Rahman doing more than what is necessary for them to do. That during the night, they spend their time in sajda, in prostration before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In tahajjud salah, they stand in salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by giving of their personal time and sacrificing this time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is how they earn this title of Ibadur Rahman. And there are so many other ayats of the Quran Sharif where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people who stand up in tahajjud salah. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. In Surah Al-Ifam, Sajda, Allah Ta'ala praises them as well. That they stay away from their beds. And they stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the piety is not in what you have to do. But the piety is what is optional. What is optional for you. And a person makes his every effort that even that which is optional, I should never miss that part of it as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such, brothers. That when a person, this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person takes care of the fara'is, and a person over and above the fara'is, a person is very particular as far as the nawafil and optional ibadah is concerned, that serves as a protection for your fara'is. And through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person of gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of another quality of the people of the ibadur rahman, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامَهَا إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. That those people who make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard them and protect them from the fire of Jahannam. Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, in his definition of the Ibadur Rahman, he says the Ibadur Rahman are such people that they have become overwhelmed with the concern of the akhirat. That the concern of the akhirat has actually taken away all joy of living in this dunya. That everything they do, their focus is the akhirat. And they have no pleasure of anything that there is in this dunya. See, sometimes when you look at them, it will appear to you that these people, they have so much of concern that they are maybe unwell. He says, but what has made them like that is the concern for the akhirah. That they have done so much of good in their lives. They have done enough to earn the title of Ibadur Rahman. Yet they are concerned that what would happen to me when my eyes close, when I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to take me to task for something which I did in my life and I have absolutely nothing to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And there we look at the lives of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when you would pick up a twig and say, how I wish I was a twig. They have no hisab kitab, no accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take me task for this deed or for that deed or for this action or for that action? What would I answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if they are concerned about the akhirat is so much that is overwhelmed them. That the knowledge they seek also is for the akhirat. And whatever they know is for the akhirat. They have absolutely nothing to do with this dunya except that they live according to how they have to do in order to survive and continue as far as the world is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, and inshallah al-Aziz, we'll conclude on this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. That Allah ta'ala speaks about their spending. That when they spend, then they are not extravagant. They are not extravagant in their spending. And وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. There is moderation. There is moderation in their spending. They would give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an investment in akhirah. And whatever a person gives sincerely, Allah will give a person much more. But here Allah ta'ala speaks about spending on oneself and one's family. That there's moderation in spending as far as one's own family is concerned. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Rasulullah, I'm a very poor person. And I have nothing to eat. I have nothing to live on. Give me something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. He said, go to Sayyidina Uthman. Whatever your needs are, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala would take care of it. Send him, I sent you as a Nabi of Allah. So this person, the Sahabi says, when I came in, I was about to knock on the door of Sayyidina Uthman. I heard Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu scolding his wife for using an expensive oil in a lantern when she could have used a cheaper quality of oil in a lantern. So he says, I thought to myself, that what type of a man is this? If he's scolding his wife for using an expensive oil, then how would he actually take care of my needs? He said, nevertheless, I still knocked on the door. And I said to him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me. And whatever need I had, and even much more than that, Sayyidina Umar, Uthman radiallahu anhu gave everything to me. He says, but then I was very curious to know that why. That if a man has so much, and he has spent so much on me, then why was he scolding his wife? And I asked him that, why were you scolding your wife for using the expensive oil in the lantern? He says, spending on you is a command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is charity, which I'm fulfilling because of the command of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas using an expensive item in my own home, that is israf. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, innal mubaddirina kanu ikhwan ash-shayatin. That those who waste, those who squander, those who are extravagant, they are the brothers of shayateen. The fine line between spending, one is for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is one's personal self. Whatever one spends for the akhirat becomes an investment for a person, for which a person get many fallback. But in his dunya, what a person spends for himself, for every part of it, he will be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These time does not permit for me to go into the other details of Ibadur Rahman, servants of Allah, brothers. But just ponder for a moment before we conclude. That each of these aspects that are mentioned, four out of the five is with regard to one's social interaction with people around. It's with regard to social interaction and how we deal with people around us. And our dealing with people will determine whether we deserve to be in a category of Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not speak about one's personal piety. Yes, there is encouragement for us to do more than what we have to do, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's for shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He has given us. But every aspect, and if you will read further down as well, brothers, most of it has to do with one's social interaction, because we are living in a world around us. And how we deal with people around us, how we interact with people around us, that is the real sign of piety. In conclusion, a person came to his sheikh and he said, Hazrat, you know, I have reached a stage of ihsan. I've reached a stage of ihsan. Ihsan is where a person comes to that stage where he can visualize Allah Ta'ala in his ibadat. And he says that I have reached a stage of ihsan where I can visualize, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my ibadat. So his sheikh said to him, that's very good. That is very good. Excellent. Very few people actually arrive at that stage of ihsan. Then after a while, his sheikh asked him, that tell me, do you experience a stage of ihsan when you deal with your wife? Do you experience a stage of ihsan when you deal with your neighbors? Do you experience a stage of ihsan when you deal with your employees? Do you experience a stage of ihsan when you deal with those people who behave ignorantly towards you? He says, no, is there ihsan in that? He says, that is the real ihsan. That in every situation, a person is aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, brothers. That the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beautiful. It's beautiful. And when we take from the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the social part of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was actually what brought society and people together. If we implement that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us unity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to understand and to practice, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Apologies for taking extra time, but I know you as a community already, so I'm sure you don't mind. One announcement now, later. After.